You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with our sponsor, Jeremy Fenn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning, Jeremy, and welcome back.
Morning. Thank you.
Did the wind sort of blow you in?
It did.
Did it?
It's been crazy.
And,
yeah.
And all the smoke, so you had to travel?
No, we didn't. I don't know. Yeah, the wind is blowing it away from us, luckily. But
okay.
Yeah, no.
But the traffic is something else.
Yeah, this traffic. Yeah, we actually had someone on the weekend saying, like, oh, I can't come and see you guys in the week. I don't want to go in that traffic. So, It's hopefully going to be over soon. We'll see if it does anything to alleviate any of the traffic, but yeah.
Did they give you a time when it's going to be completed?
Supposedly, it's June, July.
Okay, because the one in the main road, it started when some children were in preschool and ended when they finished matric.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Right. Quick question. Yes. The Milli Vanilli after the Pretenders, was that something you did on purpose?
You got it. You're very sharp, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
So now listen, our dearest David couldn't make it. He had an emergency. And you've got something to say about that.
Yeah, just when he says it's an irrigation emergency, yes. I was like, is he like a surgeon on call? You know, just I've got to get to this irrigation emergency.
Right. Yes, that's the message we got.
Yeah. So he is on the other side of the mountain.
Yes, he is.
He's, you know, that does count. So he's busy with, I think, two jobs in Constantia. Yeah.
And the traffic just doesn't help. You'll never get back in time.
No, it's not worth it.
So our topic.
The petrol and all that sort of stuff.
So getting to our topic, it's
February gardening.
February gardening. So
yeah, it's summer. It's the wind. We're experiencing it like crazy. The heat, the hot and dry. Yeah, flip, I died last week. In some of those days, I wasn't enjoying that heat and the wind.
But you didn't have a splash pool when you could just get in and splash around.
Yeah, yes. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's the heat and the wind. And, you know, we say it all the time. We've mentioned it so many times. The mulching and the watering is extremely important. But it's the having that mulch layer and then doing the deep watering is extremely important. You don't want to do shallow watering because then it just means that any plant that is growing there is encouraged to do surface roots instead of sending the roots downwards. So a deep watering is a much better idea. And then having that mulch layer just keeps the soil much cooler. And then that's what helps.
So mulch is very important for a garden.
Extremely important for our gardens here. I mean, it's got the dual purpose of breaking down slowly and conditioning the soil, but also just covering the soil and then helping with that, keeping it cooler than it would be if it was just sand. And we've got just sand here. So
the wind that we're having doesn't help.
Doesn't help at all. Shame. I had Vanessa just in the garden center this morning, and she was complaining about her spot here up at Chapman's Bay. And, you know, when people plant on a mountain that's like a sand dune mountain, it's difficult. I mean, it's extremely difficult to have a nice garden in those situations. And she was threatening to get an excavator in there and take half the mountain away and refill it with topsoil. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know how much that's going to cost you, but thinking about it, I mean, it would be something that you could do. But, wow, it would be crazy to try and redo that when you're working with like sand, pretty much.
Yes.
And that's what we've got in this, the valley. It's a sand pit. And yeah, as I said, that's why I sell so much compost and mulch and things like that, because people realize, you know, if you want to have anything growing really nicely, you've got to do that.
What kind of garden should one have when you're staying on the mountain?
So, you know, there's a lot of things that do grow really nicely that like to have well-drained soil. So, obviously, on a mountain slope, you're going to have that runoff. You can still create pockets. And she actually said this, that the one section of her garden is terraced really nicely. And that does help to keep the moisture in certain areas. But you are going to have runoff. So as long as the plant is used to that. So, but it's still, you've got to go water-wise and you've got to go, it's exposed.
Yes.
You've got to have the wind resistant and things like that, especially up here at Chapman's Bay. You know, what really grows well are those really nice aliens. You see them all over the place,
yes,
those
you
Port
do.
Jacksons. And it's amazing how they get stuck in. And it's because they are so used to those conditions in Australia, I'm guessing, where it's just so windy and dry, and they just thrive. But that's what I did see on the weekend. We went out to Scarborough, Red Hill area, the Scone Shack, and they have some, what are those things called? The goats. And the goats were chewing on the Port Jackson. So, you know, apparently they love the Port Jackson. Got a lady down the road, and she's got a few goats as well. And if we were chopping Port Jackson anywhere, and then she says, no, please drop them off. Just drop them in my driveway. My goats will sort those out. So, yes. And then, like we said, with David being having an emergency with irrigation, it's always good to make sure that your irrigation is doing what it's supposed to be doing because it's so hot and dry. You don't want to have your irrigation on automatic and then it's actually not watering properly because it's maybe some nozzles are blocked or something is not, you know, doing what it's supposed to do.
How often should one check your irrigation system?
Yeah, I'd say it's like once a month.
Once a month. So it's a monthly thing.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, most people are going to be in their garden if they, you know, then they'll notice. But, you know, maybe they're not going to be in the garden when the irrigation is actually running because they might run it early morning or something like that. So I think it's a good idea because you don't want to be wasting water and you don't want to be the plants are not getting water.
And it's also preferred time to water is in the morning, as you say very often.
Yeah, early morning is ideal. You can do in the evenings as well, but what I've always said is that you don't want to have an automated system that does evenings as well. And then as we start, I mean, March is around the corner and then we're starting going into autumn and then you've got evening watering. So it's still hot-ish days and then cooler nights and then you've got the fungus problem.
No.
So you definitely don't want to have your irrigation running in the evening as we go into autumn.
Yeah. Yes. So,
you know, my brain. It takes
a
while.
Don't worry.
Yeah, and then just generally your lawns, you want to keep it, you don't want to let it go too high, but again, you don't want to cut it too short because if you cut it too short and we have a hot, windy day, then it burns and it actually can go backwards. So you don't want those blades, you don't want to set your mower on a very low setting. It's just keeping it at a nice little, you know, 2 centimeters or something like that height, and just keeping it, you don't want to let it grow too tall because then it could shade, you know, some of the taller shades part of the lawn and then it also goes backwards. So unfortunately at this time of year when you are watering regularly and it's also nice and warm, the grass is growing faster. And so, you know, you can't let it grow too tall. So a regular mow, probably once a week if you've got that Kikuyu lawn.
You know, garden's not such an easy thing to do, is it, gardening? When
no.
I listen to you, because at the maintenance that you have to do, and listening to you, I mean, you can't have it this high, this short, you got to do this, got to do that. Gee, you know,
well,
I
this
take
is
my
why,
hats off to all gardeners.
That's why the surgeon is always so busy.
Yes.
Because he's got that, you know, nothing stops growing. And so he's in the right business there as well.
You're right, because he loves grass and he loves roses.
He loves grass. He loves roses and he loves irrigation.
Oh, yes,
so,
he's
doing.
So he's in his happy place, is he?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, but you can do, you don't want to do extremely high nitrogen fertilizer now. It's just a maintenance fertilizer if you wanted to do like a 2-3-2, something like that, or even a liquid fertilizer, just to keep it looking good. But you don't want to push, you know, too much top growth with very high nitrogen now, because we are, as I said, we're going into the autumn. It's going to slow down a bit, but, you know, just keeping it looking decent with a balanced fertilizer, one of those 2-3-2s or you could use one of the chicken manure pellets one. You know, that's also balanced. Yes. It's just like a nice little thing to keep going.
So when your clients come and pop in to purchase all these, you know, extreme goodies for their garden,
yes,
do you give them advice? Do they ask or do you just give to say, please, no, don't, you know, you can do this or you can't do that?
Well, you see, you get some people that will come in very specifically looking for a specific product.
Yes.
And if I help them and I know that it's not ideal to use that product, I'm going to say
yes at
that time. But, you know, if someone definitely wants something, they've usually been recommended by someone to say, oh, yeah, no, you put lan on your grass.
Yes.
And lan is perfect. I think I've mentioned this before, but lan is perfect if you've got a party on the, you know, coming up in a week's time and you want to just kick that grass into high green growth mode.
Yes.
Then you'd use it. But if, you know, this time of year, you don't want to use that because it's just too much of the top growth and not enough of the general stuff. So, like I said, you know, if someone comes in and they're adamant on buying something, then you've got to be skillful in explaining and convince them to take a different product. And otherwise, you know, some people are very headstrong.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what you tell them, they'll still that's often when they've been recommended something by their horticultural friend or something like that, which I mean it
might work for that garden but not for this garden.
Yeah, so, and a different time of year, yes, and a different, you know, coastal garden. They might live in, I've had it before where they live in Joburg and they say, oh no, use this. And then when the person comes and then you say, well, you know, it's very different in Joburg or Durban or whatever. They've got a, very different. Yes.
Their soil's soil very different.
Exactly.
Very.
So, you know.
And different parts of the Western Cape, it's also very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we're talking like Constantia Garden, yes, Durbanville Garden.
Yes.
You know, the soil
But their gardens are beautiful. I mean, when you ride through Durbanville and all that, they're really, their grass and their gardens are beautiful.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, different soil structure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so talking about, there's still a bit more summer. So when you're flowering shrubs or shrublets are the flowers are going off, you can still definitely deadhead those and then that should push through another little flush of flowers. So if there's anything.
So when is that? Will be the end of March when that starts?
Things like the gazanias I've got in my garden, I haven't deadheaded them and I can see that they're not producing more flowers, so I've got to get stuck in and deadhead all of those gazanias now. And then they should still give me more flowers coming up. Things like, what did I have here? Hibiscus, bougainvillea. You can cut back.
Yes.
Anything that's looking a little bit like they've passed it. And then it should do more flowering because it's still warm enough for those summer flowering things. It says also roses, lavenders, dahlias. Yeah, we've also got some dahlias. They've actually been so good in our garden because it's a bulb. And it's actually the second year now after we put them in, and they are looking so good because you actually forget about them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the plant's there again, and then all of a sudden it's full of flowers.
It just springs out.
Yeah. And then you just deadhead them nicely.
So you must have quite a lovely garden because that's unusual, you know, mechanic and a car, a builder and a house.
I don't know if we can say that my garden is. It's very simple.
Is it?
But
it sounds very colorful.
Yeah. My wife got stuck in, and I've actually got some two watermelons coming on. They're swelling nicely, and then some sweet melons as well.
Really?
There's about eight on the sweet melons, so those are looking good. We harvested one on Friday. I haven't eaten it yet, but it looked like it was good. And then, we had some really nice red peppers this year. And I'm not a green, red pepper, yellow pepper fan, usually.
Yes.
Because it's usually too...
Too strong or too weak.
Yeah, and it's also too... I don't know what that taste... Because you think of a green pepper, or especially this red pepper, as like a sweet pepper, rather.
Yes.
And most of the ones that come from the shop, they just have that, like... It's more of a... I can't describe the... What is that?
The taste.
Yeah, I can't describe it more as it gives you like a more of an bitter or acid.
It's more bitter.
Yeah. Yes. At the beginning. And I got these red peppers out and I said, well, let me just try one of these things. And I just chopped off a nice hunk and I put them on. It was so, so good and so different. I ate the whole thing.
You did?
It was like I was eating a fruit. But yeah, it was just...
So what kind of pepper was it that tastes so good?
It was a red... I think it's a California Wonder or... I can't remember which one we planted. But, you know, they stay green on the plant for quite a while and then they start changing. Okay. And we planted some yellows and some purples. The purples we didn't get.
Purples?
Yeah. Really? And then the red ones did really well.
Yes.
Yeah, so the tomatoes I didn't do well this year. It was the watering. There's a problem with something called blossom end rot on tomatoes. And that's when the bottom of the tomato goes black.
Yeah.
And it's a common problem when you don't have enough calcium in the soil or you don't have consistent watering. And we haven't set up irrigation in our veggie area. Because I thought, no, it's fine. We're going to just do it. And then you get busy and then you forget. And then you water one day really nicely and then you forget the next day and then you water whatever. So it wasn't consistent, especially when we had the hot, dry weather.
Yes.
So a lot of the tomatoes that we've got going on there now have got this black bottom of the tomato, which is unfortunate because it's obviously would have been nice to get a nice crop. But I'm going to be removing all of those, and there are still some flowers, and hopefully we're going to get some nice fruit.
And remember to water them.
Oh, yeah. I'll try and remember to do the consistent watering. Yeah.
You'll have to get the doctor in to put an irrigation in for you.
That's a good idea. Yeah. And the other thing that we had in the nursery, which is a bit of a pain, is the white fly.
White fly?
Yeah, we had it in our growing area. And I actually had to buy the predatory mites, which are, you know, you buy it in this tub. Well, you don't know, but I'm going
to
tell you.
No, you're going to tell me, yes. Do you see my face and my eyes?
So, you know, you can definitely spray for white fly, but because their life cycle is so short, it seems to be that you can never get it correct. So I've had this before where we've had an infestation with whitefly, and the only thing that worked were these predatory mites. And it comes in a canister, and I think it comes from somewhere in Africa, Zambia. I think they grow them there in these like big insect, I don't know what you call them, but it's like an enclosed area.
Yeah.
And they breed these predatory mites. And then there's different ones for different things. And then what you do is you get your canister and then you shake out the medium onto the areas that need to be treated. And then these little mites just go and eat the eggs. They eat the larva. And then I don't know if they target the adults, but the adults will, because the life cycle is so short, will lay eggs. But the mites are still there.
Yeah.
So as long as there's food for the mites, then they'll hang around and they'll do their job.
They'll just keep eating.
Yeah. So they've been doing their job, and it's, you know, everything's under control.
This one is very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see the white fly is an interesting thing when we have hot, dry weather. The white fly, the red spider mite, you know, it does get stuck in. So yeah, sometimes you have to resort to these things where you have to get these, you know. The predatory mites is not something that I would have on the shelf, and that's unfortunate. But it usually, because it costs, it's quite a cost. I mean, it's 1,000 rand for one canister. So it's not something that the home gardener is really going to use. If someone does have a whitefly infestation that they cannot get rid of, I had someone talking about it on there. I think it was the Sutura or something like that. Actually, David was talking about it, and he said he just ripped it out and disposed of it. And then that was the way to solve that problem. And sometimes you're going to have to do that. But obviously, I can't do that in my growing area.
No, you can't.
I need to, you know, I need to grow these plants.
You need to do the homework and then share it with us.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
What does work and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
So just take note, listeners.
Yeah.
Take note.
Yeah. So unless you had some sort of commercial thing going on,
yes.
You know, getting these predatory mites, it's not really going to be for you.
Yeah.
But it is definitely interesting. So.
Very. And I must say, gardening is not for sissies.
Yeah, we say that often.
Yes.
yeah, like the figs, the grapes. Yeah, just we were at Imhoff and they've got a nice big grape vine going on. And my daughter said, "Oh, those edible grapes." I'm like, "Yeah, it must be."
Yes, I mean, it must be. David, we got a question. Good morning, Sharon. How's it? Sharon says, "My beautiful big lemon tree is losing its leaves and leaves are curling. Any advice what she can do?"
Okay. So, yeah, lemon trees curling leaves. It could be the scilla, which are those they're little black things that sting the leaves. But also curling could be from the wind and just the heat, because we've had the heat and the wind.
Yes, we have.
And I'm not sure if that lemon is in a pot or if it's in the ground. If it's in the pot, maybe the pot's too small and the roots are so, you know, there's so much root going on there that it, when you do water, it just goes straight through.
And she's losing leaves as well.
Yeah. So the other extreme of that is you watering way too much, and then because it's sitting in water, you thinking now, because it's losing leaves, "Oh no, I need to water. Then you're watering too much, and then it's sitting in water, and then it doesn't like that either. So I would just check if that's the case.
She just come through. Sharon says it's in the ground.
It's in the ground. Okay.
Right, yeah.
So for me, that sounds more like it needs more regular deep watering. And definitely a nice mulch layer. And then treating for the scilla. Sometimes you need to use that conal one, which is the systemic one. And then you pour that over the soil and it takes it into the plant. You remove all the fruit that's on there. And then it will make sure that if any of the little scilla is there and it stings the leaves or bites on the leaves, it's going to get the insecticide and it's going to die. And then all the new leaves that come out are going to be good, and the new flowers and the new fruit is all going to be good. But yeah, if there's any fruit on the tree, just take all of those off, and then treat with the conal. And then yeah, mulch layer. And then, you know, there are heavy feeders as well. So a good fertilizer, slow release. The organic one that I really like, you know, is the Talborn 315. And then maybe some Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate, that also helps. And maybe even the trail mix, the trace element mix. I mean, you should get most things from all the things we talked about, but sometimes it needs some extra boost of a trace element. And then the trail mix is always good. But yeah, the mulching, the fertilizing, the checking the water, and yeah, sometimes it even means that you need to put up a shade cloth. We've talked about this. The shade cloth with the protection, because the hot, dry winds is just nailing it, and it's just too much.
So I hope that answers your question, Sharon.
Yeah, it also depends on how old it is. If it's a young tree, then it also is still trying to settle itself, and when it gets bashed around by the wind, that also could definitely be a problem.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, thank you.
She also says she's going to pop in
excellent.
To chat. So there we go. Is that it, Jeremy? It looks like.
Wow, the time has gone really fast.
Yes, it has. You see, it's time flies when we're having fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other thing that you can always mention is the weeds.
Yes.
Because you are watering, and then you're going to get the weeds, and they're going to steal nutrients, and they're going to steal stuff from your plants that you want to keep. So, you know, don't let the weeds get too big and then go to seed. You want to make sure that you pull those out before they create flowers and seed, because it's just going to spread. And then you've got more problems in your garden. So keeping on top of the weeds is an ongoing thing.
It's true. That can take all day, can't it? And annoying. Jeremy, is there anything else you want to share before we have to say goodbye?
No,
and you
I think
need to
good.
Give out your number. Well, everyone knows where you are, but it's always nice, you know. Well, you don't. I mean, they can just pop into the nursery.
Yeah, yeah. I say brave the traffic. You know, come and have a coffee, and then spend some time, because then it's not just a pop in and out.
That's right.
So then you've got a reason to sit in the traffic just for a little bit extra.
And your nursery is very colourful.
It's very colourful.
Yes. And you do have a nice restaurant there.
Yeah.
So yes, that's what our listeners need to do.
Someone said to me on Friday. "Earn your restaurant so cheap." And I was like, "Whoa, I need to rectify that."
Jeremy. Jeremy, thank you for coming in, and you'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
All right. Have a lekker day.
You too. Thank you.
And we hope that you get back to the nursery in time.
Yeah. No. No, we'll.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.